All right, hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Rescue Bots podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
Shiver me Shanix, I'm David.
And yes, we are back to covering Transformers Rescue Bots for, we are getting close to the end of that third and final, or fourth and final season.
It's kind of the third, but it's broken up on the wiki, and it's as far as Hasbro is concerned, it's fourth.
It's so. Not as weird as Robots in Disguise got with its season numbering.
No, there's no like weird half season in
there. Yeah, like not
we're
that
just
bad.
Gonna say four question mark, just mm-hmm. pencil in four.
Yeah, this is the 23rd episode of season four, the 101st episode overall.
Mm-hmm. So many episodes.
So many Dalmatians.
Written by frequent Rescue Bots writer Brian Holfeld, mm-hmm. who we'll be seeing again in Rescue Bots Academy and even in Earthspark.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Cool.
But this is his swan song on the series. You recall he's also the model for that guy who has a pet flobster.
Oh, nice. I, too, would like to have a pet flobster someday.
Yeah, this first aired October 15th, 2016. This is a relatively peril-free episode until it gets extremely perilous.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. It's fairly, like, just personal, emotional stakes until suddenly the stakes get extremely high.
Yes.
Yeah.
Until suddenly we're at, are they gonna kill off a main character?
Uh-huh.
Ooh. Yes, we'll get there.
Anyway, so we open with some pretty typical Griffin Rock action, in as much as Graham and Boulder are shutting off. Are they? You know, they're putting some Jersey barriers up. There's a construction site that's happening.
Jersey barriers? Wait, what?
Yeah,
yeah. That's what they call them where I live.
That's what they're called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm from Jersey. I don't remember them being called that.
Well, they just barriers. Call them barriers there.
Yeah. It's like how we don't call it Canadian bacon up here.
Yeah.
Why is it called Jersey barrier?
We don't call it Southern style iced tea. It's just iced tea with a whole pile of sugar in it.
They were developed in New Jersey. That's why they're just called barriers where I'm from. What the fuck?
This is amazing.
I feel like this is something I should have heard of 20 years ago.
Oh.
And you didn't need to, because they were just barriers there.
They're just concrete barriers. What the hell? Oh, there's also Texas barriers. Oh, Texas barriers look
now
ugly.
Now you know.
Well, in fact, there is an advanced, or a larger version of those that is known as the Ontario Tall Wall.
Ooh.
Oh.
Nice.
Ontario Tall Wall.
Anyway, there's construction going on downtown, and the chief is having a Parks and Rec-esque town hall meeting.
I am curious as to why he's doing this and not the mayor, but that is a question that does not get answered.
And we know the mayor's in town because we see him later in the episode.
What, does he have lines? I don't remember.
He does not have lines.
Okay.
He's just got important things he's doing.
Or he doesn't want to do this and would rather have the chief do it, which is understandable because everybody is, you know, they're mad at him. They're saying, you know, that resident weirdo conspiracy theorist guy is saying, well, hey, first the sidewalks, then they're taking away your rights.
Yes. It does kind of remind me of the time when they were changing up some neighborhood stuff back where I used to live, and there was a shop owner who was concerned because there was a Chipotle going on across the street, and there goes your neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
They're putting in a Chipotle. It's all over now.
People eating giant burritos means it's going to turn into a Death Wish 3 out there.
Yes.
But the main thrust of the episode comes next, where Cody is trying to figure out how he's going to go get to the Junior First Responder Jamboree.
Yes. He's got to choose a spec.
Yes.
Back in my day, you chose a spec and it stayed chosen. If you wanted a different spec, you better roll a new character.
So he hit level 3?
Yes. Yes, he has hit level 3. He's got to choose a spec.
So, yeah, his choices are... You get Frost, are...
Blood, or Unholy. You got to pick one.
So, yeah, his choices are law enforcement, firefighting, or EMT. There is also engineering, but that is apparently a separate camp, as we'll find out later, as is enthusiastically shilled by Boulder and Graham, even though it sounds extremely boring.
It's called Tinseltown. Like tinsel, like the engineering term. But also... it did take me until the second scene of them going on about it for me to realize that
Tinsel Town.
It's a joke that really needs to be on paper, but I did pick up on that.
Apparently it's pretty much mostly tug of war, but also there are seminars on the physics of lanyard making and your friend inertia.
Yes.
I think that second one was a Troy McClure movie.
Yeah.
Their enthusiasm about it is so adorable.
They're really trying to sell it, and it's not working.
No. Not for anybody. So nerdy.
Meanwhile, we get some pre-credits peril in that there is a renegade garbage bot.
There's trash bots gone wild, because apparently they can't be programmed to, the trash route is... changed because the street is closed, but the robot does not know that.
The robot apparently does not have a way to determine that the street is closed, so unless you tell it ahead of time, then it's just gonna go right on through those Jersey walls.
So luckily, and then this causes a crane to go out of control, and as the expression goes, the cranes in Maine mainly cause pain.
I don't think anyone ever said that prior to you just saying it right now.
By George, she's got it. Anyway, it almost crashes into the meeting, at which point people are kind of grudgingly thankful to the team for them not getting crushed.
Yeah, just a giant crane with a wrecking ball. I guess the town hall is downhill from there.
Yeah. But the chief doesn't care about this because he's going on vacation.
He is.
He's going to spend a week away from the mainland. He's going to fish.
He is so done. He just needs to be gone. He is going fishing and nothing else.
Now, thankfully for his survival at the end of the episode, he is not retired. He's not a week away from retirement.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that'd be rough.
Gonna show him
He's 2 weeks away from show retirement.
Well, this is true.
He's gonna show McBain a picture of his boat.
No.
Little Kate is growing up.
I know some of the robots show up in Rescue Bots Academy. I'm guessing the Burnses don't?
I believe they do, but not all the time.
Okay.
At least not to the extent that they do. And, of course, they don't have the same voice actors.
Aw, that's rough.
Because it's all non-union.
Yeesh. Hey, that time period. I'm glad that we're past that.
Yes. Mm. Like that. Now we can watch a Transformers cartoon that has Weird Al Yankovic on it. And Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yes. Indeed.
Okay, if they do get a third season, they need a couple other musicians to have a super group.
I'm trying to think what other musicians do voice acting.
Other than...
Henry Rollins, I guess?
Yes, Henry Rollins. I'm just blanking on the fucking name. I'm just thinking Mad Stan.
Nothing else is really springing to mind, although I think Deborah Harry is on that Phantom 2040 cartoon.
Really?
For some reason.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah, there's probably some musician one-shots here and there.
That is weird.
Does, Neil Patrick Harris count?
Yeah, he's in...
He's like a Broadway guy? I wouldn't say he's in a band.
He is a Broadway guy.
Yeah, which doesn't exactly equal supergroup. of accordion and whatever the fuck Flea plays. Bass guitar?
How about Paul Williams? He was the Penguin.
Yeah. But, again, not in a band. Musician, definitely. Not in a band. Well, I guess it would count enough. But.
Yeah, I can't think of a lot of guys in bands who... There's Stevie Van Zandt. I don't know if he does voice acting. He does, like, regular acting because he's on Sopranos.
Mm-hmm. Danny Elfman did the singing parts for Jack Skellington, but that kind of doesn't count that it's just the singing parts.
And he was in a band in as much as he was a member of Oingo Boingo.
Indeed.
Which was like he was like half the band or something.
I mean, there were various other guys. At one point, they were the Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo, and they're kind of more like a performance art thing.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
More performance art, less beer commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm just thinking, like, he should have starred on that medieval Power Rangers Mystic Knights of Tir na n'og thing.
Oh, that was a show that existed.
It sure did.
Enough that I remember commercials of it. I never saw it.
Oh, I saw many episodes of it.
Oh, maybe we'll have to do that one of these days.
I saw that it was on.
It was like, what if we made our own Power Rangers, and also it was really Irish?
Yeah.
For reasons.
Yes. Actually, I think it was probably shot in Ireland, because there's probably some sort of, like, wacky tax break that Saban was taking advantage of.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Anyway, so... So, you know, the chief is all, you know, Cody, I know you're going to pick whatever's right for you. Whereas all of his siblings are all, Cody, I know you're going to want to pick the choice that is right, which is the one that I do.
Yes. Cade and Danny especially are coming on strong.
Yes. Cade, of course, is, listen, all kids want to be firefighters, and that's because firefighters are awesome, like myself.
Yes.
Well, yeah, and Danny points out, like, all kids want to be firefighters when they grow up, and you can only be one, as Danny points out, fireman or grown up.
That was pretty clever. I'm sure she's got lots of practice making fun of Cade.
Yes.
So he rides along with Cade first, and it turns out that Cade is, in fact, competent.
Yeah, wow.
Yes, well... I mean, it's not entirely shocking. It's just weird.
He's obviously an odd person, but he is a professional firefighter.
Yes. Yeah. He may not care about the laws, but he cares about the fire code. He cares about keeping that work site a safe distance away from those gas lines.
Yeah, there's this construction going on, and he is telling this this construction foreman what to do, but as we pointedly note, this fireman is wearing earplugs the whole time.
Yeah, he is not listening. Kate tells him, and then he takes out one of the earplugs a moment later, and it's just like shrugs and goes back to what he was doing, which was working with fire too close to gas lines.
So they do successfully fight this fire, and next up, Cody goes along with Danny and Blades. Blades is, I don't know how much flying Danny's kind of doing here, although, presumably Cody would have to do a lot more if he was in a regular helicopter and not a neurotic flying robot.
Yes. He does have to help a little. Also, Blades points out that helping is the only reason he does this, because he would rather be at the arcade putting all the tokens into the dance games.
Yeah, and that flying Blades isn't really that bad. It's just like if he gets overly distracted, yank the stick to get his attention.
Yes.
You're kind of just babysitting Blades, which I assume is still easier than flying an actual helicopter, but probably not as easy as dealing with, like, heat wave.
He requires adult supervision at all times. So they do have to save this hiker who has a broken leg, but it's pretty uneventful otherwise.
Well, yeah, because suddenly they're flying along, rocks fall, everyone dies. Wait, no. Someone set off a safety flare that just dislodge some rocks.
Oh man, I need to start carrying flares in my hiking equipment. You really should not set off flares in a forest.
Nope.
No.
It's a bad
idea.
Unless
you're trying to set fire to a monster bear or something.
Yeah, not so much.
So they get back to the fires, and then there's an engineering emergency, which is a bridge that's going to need new supports. Oh, could be as soon as 2 years from now.
Yes.
Cody is unimpressed.
Proper infrastructure is important, as you'll see, like, bridges are falling apart all over the place because of lack of maintenance. It's very, very useful.
Yes, it just seems that Cody is kind of more of the "I was told there would be no math" kind of person.
Yeah.
Well, yes, it's of the options, like, that's the least suited to him.
Mm.
But math.
Mm. But math.
It's a shame.
So, you know, now Cody is going with Chase and the Chief. And, of course, Chase has all the local statues, which he requires Cody to memorize. But as the Chief proves, it's more than just knowing what the rules are. Because we've got a bit of a fender bender. Yeah. You've got Jerry, the town's worst truck driver.
Yes.
What, only truck driver, basically.
Well, worst and only.
Well, yeah.
And, of course, Don, the town's resident speeder. And we get his voice acting here. This guy needs to be more grizzled.
Yeah, finally, like, I'm pretty sure this is the first time he's had...
I think this is the first time.
Well, more than, like, a word, but definitely full sentences.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could
and like
stand.
We've seen him since the first season. He looks like freaking Burt Reynolds.
He does.
Sounds nothing like Turd Ferguson.
No, he's just kind of, like, doing a kind of a California accent. Whoa!
Yeah, it like, either do a Maine-ish accent or... Burt Reynolds' southern accent, smugness or something. This
Turd Ferguson, it's a funny name.
Threw me off because it's like I was this whole time I was expecting like a bad Burt Reynolds impression, and that's not what I got.
Like this is a guy who spent most of his 20s with a pack of cigarettes rolled up his t-shirt sleeve.
Yeah, he sounds oddly more like Dom DeLuise. More high pitched than I expected. It's like that's
yeah. Cool. Well, he's voiced by Robbie Damond, who is also the Crime Druids.
Oh. Mm.
And who is, I think, a fairly he's like he'd be like in his 30s at this time.
Hmm.
And you know, he voices a lot of like youthful characters. Like he's been Spider-Man a bunch of times.
Oh. Spider-Man's.
Well, that's fine. They should have got somebody who could do grizzled.
Yeah, you have Maurice LaMarche do him with, like, I don't know, like a Clint Eastwood impression or something.
Yeah.
Oh, he is very good with the impressions.
Yes. Anyway, they have had a bit of a minor fender bender, and the Chief, you know, resolves everything, and nobody resorts to fisticuffs, and nobody goes to jail. He's doing his best to beat the ACAB allegations.
He's trying.
Yes, the one nice cop.
Just the only exception.
Mm.
Yeah, then he helps a guy pick up some groceries. Resident Hayseed Edgar has a pregnant wife, and he's got to get her to the hospital.
Oh, yes. Was that guy's accent really Canadian?
It sounded kind of Canadian.
Yeah.
Of course, I will note that he was voiced by Maurice LaMarche, and Maurice LaMarche is from Canada.
Oh.
Huh. Do not know that.
Yeah. He's from Toronto.
Okay.
In fact, his father was infamously murdered in broad daylight in Toronto in the 80s.
What?
Oh, I think this came up before.
Probably, but I kind of forgot that.
It was at the big mining convention in Toronto, and he, I guess, had this business dispute with a former friend, and then just shot him in front of everybody.
I want to go to a mining convention. I mean, I don't want to get shot there, though.
If they're showing off local crystals and rocks and stuff, yeah, show me shiny things. If it's just coal...
I mean, this is like the national mining convention, and mining is, like, a big deal in Canada.
Yes. Because there's so much open space to mine in.
I think it's like the, you know, National Miners and Prospectors Convention or something.
Prospectors Convention. Oh, that makes it more appealing and hilarious.
Yeah, you're definitely going to run into a couple of guys who sound like Gabby Hayes there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, you know, Cody still has to decide what he's going to do. And they're about to head off. You know, they're seeing the chief off to the ferry. But unfortunately, as often happens in Grivenrock, something explodes.
Oh no.
And it is indeed that same construction site, because that guy had his earplugs in and did not hear Cade's instructions to turn that gas off.
Well, no,
it's the only time the construction you will ever hear the words, "He should have listened to Cade."
Well, yes.
It's true.
Like they were doing construction with propane torches or something less than 30 feet from a gas main connecting to the building.
Also, yeah. Back to Chief for just a moment. It is a lot easier to be a nice cop when you live on an island that has basically no crime.
Yeah.
It's true.
Anyway, this guy should have listened to Cade. Only time anyone should ever say they should have listened to Cade.
I mean, there are two kinds of crimes on Grivenrock. You've got, like, minor misdemeanors, you know, a little
speeding.
Shoplifting, some speeding, and then you've got super villainy.
Yes.
There is no in-between. Anyway, so unfortunately, this explosion has blown up a significant portion of a nearby apartment building, and so they have to save the residents, including Captain Wild, the fantastically named local fisherman, and Mr. Sharma, the guy who is voiced by and kind of resembles Parvesh Chena.
Yes.
The voice actor of Blades.
Yes.
Also, I like the captain's sweater a lot. It's great.
Yes.
He's got a great captain's sweater on. A+
captain's
sweater.
He's definitely a guy from Maine.
Yes. Extremely from Maine.
Ah, this sweater has seen many a chowder stain, my boy.
They should have more houses with widow's walks in town.
Anyway, so indeed, engineering does come into play here as Graham and Boulder are able to stabilize this building before it totally collapses.
Yay! Action nerdery.
So we're putting up everybody at the firehouse.
Okay, turns out Widow's Walk isn't what I thought it was, but it's something I remember seeing all the goddamn time in Vermont.
Yes.
Which makes less sense since that's way far inland. But, yeah.
I mean, it's just an architectural thing.
Yeah, but it's like the flat piece with the railing on the top of a building. I thought it was more like on the side. What the hell was I thinking of?
You're thinking of a balcony.
Yeah, but I thought it was like a different kind. Anyway, yeah.
Like a special kind of balcony.
Yeah.
Anyway, so some people still need their stuff in the house. You know, in the building. You know, stuffed animals, medicine, that sort of thing.
The whole part with them getting settled in at the firehouse is just very sweet and touching and dramatic.
Yes.
Specifically, Morbosh the dragon, a stuffed animal.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, Morbosh is a good name for a stuffed dragon. So much so, it's like, wait, is this like a Magic the Gathering tie-in or something? Probably not. It just very much felt like a pre-existing dragon name. It was so good.
So, unfortunately, as the bots are keeping this building steady, the chief and Danny are going in, but unfortunately, as the chief is leaving, the building falls on top of him.
Yeah. Like, lots of chunks of the building.
Like, it's serious. It's really serious.
Oh, yeah.
It's like they pull a big slab of concrete off of him, and it's bad.
Yes. Like, he gets up, and then he collapses and they have to get him to the hospital.
It's definitely like, oh my god, are they going to end the series by killing the chief?
Ugh.
Kinda, yeah. Especially when they're taking him to the hospital, which made me think, wait, of course there's a hospital on this island, but have we ever seen it before? I don't remember.
We have not. Notably, outside this hospital, we see an ambulance that is precisely the design of Medics, the rescue bot who's not on the show.
Yeah, well, yes, not. Yeah, he's going to be on Rescue Bots Academy, but he's the white.
Right, but in a different body.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks like his first toy.
Mm-hmm.
Which presumably they were prepping for Rescue Bots Academy. Well, because they've already mentioned it before and set up the other things. Mm-hmm. So it will happen, then, so his design is there, which is really cool.
And this is also the first time we see the often mentioned but never seen Dr. McSwain.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, I guess the Doctor has been mentioned in previous episodes.
Oh, okay, that's who that is.
Who is voiced by and resembles actual voice director Ginny McSwain.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay. I figured, because the character design felt very... This has got to be
something. This looks like it's based on a real person.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then she's done a ton of, voice directing. She did that Mask cartoon, Earthworm Jim, Goof Troop, Darkwing Duck, The Batman.
Lots of stuff.
Also some voice acting as well. She was Lois Lane on that late 80s Superman cartoon, like the Ruby Spears cartoon.
Oh, wow. Weird.
I can't say I remember that one.
That's the Superman cartoon that I remember, like
pre-WB.
Superman the Animated Series. It's like 88, 89.
The one I remember pre the Animated Series is the really old one.
The one from like the 60s or whatever?
I thought it was the 50s. The really, really ancient
like
one.
Like late 50s, maybe early 60s. But yeah.
Yeah.
Now this is the one with like Bo Weaver as Clark Kent.
I didn't know there was one in between our original Superman cartoon and the Animated Series one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a shock to me.
I guess we could...
Super Friends and stuff.
We could look that up.
We could do that sometime. Maybe when that James Gunn Superman show comes out.
Oh, yeah, we'll do a Superman.
Yeah, I was really not aware of Ruby Spears doing a Superman cartoon. That is interesting.
Yeah.
Are you sure it wasn't just in Canada?
I'm quite certain.
Okay.
Entirely possible. Okay, the thing, like, between the accident and them taking him to the hospital and the time in the hospital, there's this really haunting choir music that kicks in.
Yeah, this gets super dramatic.
Yeah, it feels like, oh, they're kicking it the death march for the end of Mr. Burns. Like, what?
Yeah, it's rough. Wait,
the end of Mr.
Rough.
Burns?
Chief
okay,
Burns.
Well, okay.
Chief Burns. Okay, I was thinking of like who shot Mr. Burns.
I was trying to remember his first name and blanked, so I just went with Mr. Burns.
His first name is Chief.
Uh-huh.
No, it's Charlie.
Charlie.
Oh, right.
That's what his brother calls him.
That. Yeah.
That's right.
But yeah, it's like, wait, are they going to... I mean, no, they can't kill him, but like... The seriousness of tone with the music and the dad.
It does get unusually serious, but good news. We heard from the doc, and Duke's coming out of his coma.
Well, they wheel him out, and he has a cast on and probably some other bandages or something.
Like, he probably tried to stand on a broken leg and passed out from the shock.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, it doesn't look like he'd be fishing for a little while. Mm. But hey, the whole town has showed up to appreciate, you know, how much they care about the chief and how much he keeps this town from sinking into the ocean.
It's very nice of them.
It's like, I do question, like, what kind of fishing is he going to do where he needs both legs working? Like,
also,
most fishing is sitting down, maybe bracing yourself with one leg.
The conspiracy bongo guy does show up with some flowers that he awkwardly gives to Chief and lets him know that they're from the mayor's yard. Blades is getting all teared up, and Heatwave reminds him that they don't cry.
I mean, I'm thinking if he's going to be, like, out in a boat by himself... You can't have a broken leg if that thing accidentally overturns and you gotta swim back to shore.
And if you're going in, like, you know, those hip waders.
How many people go fishing on their own? Oh, yeah, he might have been river fishing.
He seems like a hip wader kind of guy. Yeah. He seems like a guy who has a pair of hip waders, and he just goes in and stands, like, knee-deep in the water.
And he's fly fishing, he's getting all river runs through it.
Yeah, most fishing to me is, like, two guys in a boat, or renting a big boat with a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
No, I imagine him definitely wearing some hip waders and standing out in the reeds and casting his line and waiting.
Yeah, because we need to go to the mainland, so presumably he's not doing, like, saltwater fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Cody's got this application form, and, you know, his dad, the chief, that's what he's going to be. So, law enforcement it is.
Yeah, well, the way you he know, says is, like, what do you want to be? I want to be that, which is just his dad. It wasn't just like, oh, I want to be a cop. It was a nicer implication.
I feel
but
like...
But it wasn't explicit of what job he wants.
I feel like we're underselling the importance of dispatch here.
Yeah.
I think Cody could have a very good job in dispatch, but, you know, I guess they're making him special. If he specializes, who's going to be back at the firehouse answering the phone?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Well, obviously his son, eventually.
I guess so.
Well, they'll have a mini-con for that.
They have their own convention.
You can't have Servo answer the phones. He's a dog.
Would there are other
Tinseltown?
Will there be other mini cons in
Tinseltown?
Academy? We'll find out.
They need to have some clever name for dispatcher camp.
I mean, listen, you gotta be thinking about the next generation here. Like Cade's just gonna be living like Sam Malone the rest of his life. I think Danny is married to the sky.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Graham, maybe he kind of had a thing with that chick who had the helper monkey.
That's true.
Yeah.
There's a chance.
Cody, this might be all on you.
Oh, no. That's a lot of siblings to have it be all on him, but it is what it is.
I mean, our other option for keeping the Burns name alive is your uncle. And
yeah, I don't know. That's not happening.
That chance of that one.
Although I don't know, he might have like 7 ex-wives or something.
That's entirely possible.
Yeah, he probably has a secret family somewhere
in several different countries
that he just forgot to tell the rest of the family about. Oh yeah, I was married for 2 years. Sorry.
You, Cody, you've got like 12 cousins
that I know of.
Anyway, and so that is the episode. It you know, it's kind of just like a fun, cute episode for most of the time, and then gets
real serious.
Gets real in the last 5 minutes or so. It's a bit of a hard tonal shift.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of like it that like we're at the end of the series. Yes, let's do the one serious moment.
I seriously thought they were gonna. I thought they were going to kill off Chief Burns. I thought he was done for.
No. Not for this level of show aimed at kids. I wouldn't think
also,
so.
Also, I was genuinely touched by all the stuff with the displaced families staying in the firehouse.
Yeah.
That was really sweet.
Yeah, that was
and
really
Chief
nice.
Making them soup. He brought them soup.
Yeah. Oh, and this episode mentioned Shannix at the beginning, which
oh, yes.
has happened before.
I don't think it's happened on this show before.
It hasn't?
It definitely did on Robots in Disguise, but...
Yes.
Oh, maybe that's it, that it came up so recently on Robots
in
Disguise.
Yeah, that one crustacean guy is trying to find his.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're after me lucky Shannix.
So that's yet another thing this last season has brought up. We've had Decepticons, Shannix, Unicron.
Gotta get that, gotta get those lore mentions in there.
Yeah.
Have we gotten McAdams yet?
I don't think so.
I don't believe so.
They're
we
a
did
little
have
young
kind
for that.
Of a Decepticon.
Yes, they're a little young to be going to the bar. I know.
Yeah.
They're just kids.
I mean, although the rescue bots are technically adults, I still don't think that they're going out and getting tore up.
Yeah, not
well,
so much.
Heatwave.
Maybe Heatwave. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, and that does it for this episode. I believe that now brings us to Jen's Visionaries Corner.
Yes. So this week we are talking about the episode The Power of the Wise, also known as The Spell That Makes You Old.
Oh no.
This is the episode that I have the occasional reaction picture that I use on social media when people talk about, like, things happening 10 years ago. As being a long time ago, and there's a screenshot I took of Leoric looking very old, and that's how I feel sometimes. This one is by Douglas Booth, coming back to us again. He was the one who wrote a Decepticon Raider in King Arthur's Court, which is a fun G1 episode. So we start with...
That guy, he loves the medieval comedy.
He is a very good... he's very well suited for visionaries. So we start with... So you know how the Darkling Lords are always like, we don't want to do quests. These are dumb. We don't feel like this. Well, the Spectral Knights, being much better natured, are digging up some various herbs and roots for Merklin. As they are doing this and making fun of the various Darkling Lords behind their backs, Recon is hanging out in his lizardy form, and he's eavesdropping on everyone. So it comes up in their conversation that they think that the scariest thing the Darkling Lords can do is Darkstorm's staff, which is the staff of decay, which is the staff that makes you old. Much like the beach that makes you old, which I have not seen, and if I had, I might be able to make better references for this.
Oh, turns out that was based upon a comic.
Oh, and they are also like, how is Merklin so old? Like, they're being very ageist in this episode. So the point of this episode is basically, don't be so ageist. So Merklin shows up to collect the dragon roots and other stuff that they've been gathering for him, and they ask him if he can give them some kind of magic that would protect them against Darkstorm's staff. And he basically says, fuck off. He's like, no, I'm not doing that. Being old is not so bad, you young whippersnappers. And, I mean, I would say every single Spectral Knight feels 25 at the absolute youngest, with most of them being around, like, 30. So they are not, like, the young whippersnappers. But he's like, eh, not so much. So Merklin won't help them. So they ask the Staff of Wisdom for something that can help protect against old age. And he says, yeah, there's this eternal spring. There's some you'll know it by the rainbow flowers growing around it. Get some water from that spring, basically a fountain of youth, and you will be protected from the power of the Staff of Decay.
The Staff of Wisdom being the staff that summons a blue dude
with a giant exposed brain, yes.
It either looks like he has an exposed brain or just a big afro, because he's all blue.
Yeah, it's kind of visually not as coherent as it could be. But he does have... Yeah. It's a giant.
I kind of like to think he's just a smart dude with an afro.
That would also be...
Who got turned into a magical shield.
That would also be pretty great. So they all get in their vehicles and head over to this Shadow Mountain that they've been sent to. Meanwhile, Recon has decided that maybe, being a big mercenary, he could make some money off of selling this information to the Darkling Lords. I don't think they actually ever pay him. But he goes and tells them, and they catch up in their assorted vehicles. Everybody's here now. It's a big vehicle fight. And by the end of the big vehicle fight, Darkstorm has succeeded in making Leoric bold.
Oh.
And he's like, well, good, now I've accomplished that. Let's go destroy the spring so it won't fix them. So they are all now heading for the spring. At this point, all the vehicles are kind of... their batteries are low, so they're on foot at this point. Leoric's got to walk. He makes a comment about how basically he's just temporarily old. So don't, like, fuss over me, guys. Come on. Leoric does feel like an asshole because the only reason this happened is because he gave Darkstorm the idea. He's the one who was talking about it, and Recon took it back to Darkstorm, and Darkstorm was like, hey, that's a really good idea. So as they are all questing to the Shadow Mountain, Sindar, my favorite Darkling Lord, he finds a baby monster. And this baby monster, it's like kind of Repugnus vibes. It's like a bug monster that's kind of like, it's got big eyes and it's got kind of a scorpion tail, but it's also kind of like
pincers.
And pincers.
It's sort of the things that Rodan eats in Rodan's original movie.
It is it's
Meganula or something.
It's a very cute baby bug monster for a bug monster.
Yeah.
So he takes the baby back to its mom, but they get the idea to use Krivix's fear staff to scare the mama bug into attacking the spectral knights coming up behind them. So they do that, they get a big fight going on, and then of course the Darkling Lords do not stick around to make sure that things go their way. They just keep on heading out to the spring. So Leoric does distract it, it settles down, he feels better, because now he's like, I'm not an absolute moron. I'm still a smart guy, just because I did this one stupid thing.
Oh yeah, it was Meganulon from Rodan.
So they all get to the spring, and you can tell it's the Eternal Spring because a deer drinks from it and turns into a fawn. Good job.
Oh.
So they unleash Sindar's Staff of Destruction, they wreck the spring, the basin cracks, the whole thing drains. So they have succeeded. The Spectral Knights get there, and Leoric, again, feels like shit about the whole thing. He is ready to pass the Matrix to another leader, but they're like, it's fine, you can be leader being super old, like, we're all young and strong, and we can do stuff, and you can just tell us what to do and advise us, and you don't have to step down as leader just because you're old. So the Darkling Lords are headed out, except Krivix decides that he wants to go back just for the Schadenfreude. He wants to just go back and watch them being miserable because they have lost. So as he is headed back, the other Spectral Knights notice that there are some more rainbow flowers and there's a cave. So they're going to go look for the cave. Krivix sees that there is a cave. He goes back. He reports back. There's a lot of reporting back in this episode. So Feral and Leoric end up stuck together as the others go into the cave. Leoric feels that his wisdom that he has with this sudden age that he's gotten through magic tells him that they will find the power by going not up into the cave, but down further into this mountain. So the other knights get attacked by the Darkling Lords, but when they get everybody captured and get back to the Dagger Assault, which is one of their vehicles, Leoric and Feral are waiting for them. Leoric drops a rock on them. So they get the upper hand. Feral puts Darkstorm in the magical dungeon, which is the little compartment in the Dagger Assault that can take their magic away, and threatens to remove his magic unless he uses the staff to make Leoric young again. Yay, he's young again. And meanwhile, Ektar found some more of some leftover spring water. So they're like, you know what? Let's go give this magical spring water to Merklin. So they find Merklin, they offer him the magical spring water, and he just pours it out on a tree. He's like, no. I don't want to be young. I'm perfectly happy as I am. Thank you. Don't be ageist. And Merklin says, and they understand why he has done this, and Merklin says, perhaps there is a chance for the younger generation after all. So that is it. That is the spell that makes you old. So, yeah, it's, I mean, there's like I said, a lot of, like, running around and fighting, but it's a fun episode, and I mean, Douglas Booth, like I said, he's very, well-suited to this series. So that is it for The Power of the Wise.
Alright, and that is it for us for this week. We'll be back next week with more Rescue Bots Mayhem. But until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Twitter, we are on Facebook, we are on Mastodon, and we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses. That is at patreon.com/iaconunderground. We were a little late getting our special episode for May put together, so it is like the early June episode, but we will be doing a special for later in June. The May/early June episode was the 1987 cult classic Masters of the Universe, a movie which absolutely has no interest in explaining to you anything that's going on, and it's amazing. So yeah, we are still figuring out what we are doing for the second part of June, but I'm sure there will be some sort of exciting inspiration coming along soon.
Let's just say I'm considering putting my body inside a robotic Adrian Barbeau.
Oh no. Oh no.
Really weird teaser, but yeah, I think we figured out what we're doing.
All right. But yes, that is patreon.com/iaconunderground. I also set up a Blue Sky account for us at Iacon Underground. Ooh. At bluesky.whatever. So that is also a place you can see our new episodes.
All right. So until next time, when we have A Brush with Danger, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.